That's pretty amazing you know how to do all this stuff.
I didn't know how to do it. I had to study. I had to scratch and hunt and peck and hammer and, finally figured it out. But it doesn't come easy.
It comes easy. That's worth doing anyway. Or at least that's been my experience in life.
And once you figure it out, though, you only have to do it once, right? And then you got it forever.
When I was working on cars every day, most of the time, when you're trying to diagnose something, it's just ruling out what it's not, and then that points to what it is.
Looking at it, right? If you can't find out what it is, find out what it isn't. Elimination.
Sometimes that's all you can do, is just narrow down what it's not, and here it is. I know, like, the 7.3s, the older 7.3s, to narrow down which cylinder was missing could be a job sometimes, because there was no way to physically turn the injector off with the truck. So you had to narrow down what it wasn't. And then if you really wanted to know, it was a lot more involved, so it was easier to narrow down what it wasn't causing it first.
One of the things we used to say when I was at working at the bank is, people would ask, how long till it's fixed? And we could tell them, well, if we know the problem, it's 50% solved, because 50% of solving the problem is finding the problem. You can't solve it till you know what it is. So we could always tell them it's zero to 50 is pretty easy.
That's for sure. I'd always tell them, I said, I can't tell you exactly when it's going to be done until I figure out what it is. I got nothing to tell you. I mean, there's no way I can.
Just come in, I was reading it, and I don't understand it.
My text anymore, they speak in broken English, and they got acronyms for what they're saying, and I don't understand it. I speak in complete sentences.
The day off from work, well, she still gets calls and still does some work, but she took the day off, and she heard the phone, the landline, ringing. And she heard it ringing and ringing and ringing. And she asked me, she says, does it ring like that all the time, every day? And I said, yes, it does. It's annoying because of those telemarketers. So she said, can we turn that off? Just unplug it. And that's what I did. I went in two of the rooms and just unplugged it, so you don't even have to listen to it anymore. It's just so much. And you know what it is, because it says toll-free caller right there on the readout.
I hate that, too. And then now they've started calling from local numbers, and you call that number back, and it calls the person their numbers they spoofed.
They do that. Let me make this phone call, and I'll be back if you're still around. I got to make a call real quick, and then I'll be back. W4DJW.
No problem, Dave. I should still be around. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. HKX, I'm still here, Dave.
4EDX.
How are you?
I'm good, brother. I hope you are.
I'm good. Are you somewhere in Greer?
I'm sitting at the laundry mat by the old garden spot.
Garden spot, that's familiar from 1970s. Where was the garden spot? Over there by TGMY?
Yeah, it's on East Lee Road. There's a laundry mat connected to it. I figured that rings some memory bells.
You always guns and yo-yos? TGMY?
Oh, yeah. What year did you graduate?
76. I think I was a year behind you, or more, maybe, too.
No. I graduated. I was there from 77 to 80.
Oh, you didn't graduate to 80, so you were in, like, my cousin Danny's, Danny Muxway. You remember him?
I text Danny just in the past week.
Well, you talk to my cousin more than I do. How about that? I couldn't remember. I thought you graduated before I did, not after. But but how's he doing? I haven't talked to him in a while.
I think so. I don't know if you've seen that house he built, but it's absolutely beautiful.
I haven't. I saw him. So my his sister, my cousin, had a daughter that passed away in a car accident. We saw each other then. That's been about a year and a half ago since I've talked to him.
I was on the receiving end on Facebook, and I tell you what, it broke my heart for your cousin, for Benny's brother. I could cry when I was reading what he was writing.
About Emma, I guess that would be his niece.
Yeah, wasn't she cute little blonde cheerleader type?
Yeah, there's three of them. His sister Sally had three daughters that were all right about the same age group, and it was very sad. I think she was 20 or close to it, maybe 18 or 19, something like that.
His heart out, man. I tell you that the texts that he was posting were just, ripped your heart out.
What was really hard was the police came knocking at their door in the middle of the night and woke them up and said that she was asked about her, and she said, yeah, she's upstairs asleep. And the police had to tell her that she wasn't. And they went upstairs, and sure enough, she wasn't there. She snuck out of the house. And they were coming down 291, and he made a really, really hard turn down there to come on to Rutherford Road from 291, and I think the thing rolled. And she didn't survive it.
Details. Your heart goes out. You can tell when somebody's just literally dying on the inside. And he sure was.
It was the whole family. That's something really hard to get over,
Daughters, I can't imagine losing one.
Yeah, at times. So what else is going on? I haven't heard you for like 2 years. Where you been?
Not real much. All I got is the mobile. I'm living in an apartment, so I don't have a radio set up at the house. Just no way to do it. No antenna place. So I get on here. I'm literally sitting here waiting on my wash, to go through the washer and dryer. But I talked to you a couple of weeks ago. You were driving. We just said, hey.
Yeah, but before that, it had been, you went south, and you stayed south for quite a while. Then you came through, and you went back up north. Then you were coming back through and heading south again. You remember that? In the camping rig, remember?
Yeah, I got rid of it 2 years ago. But I've been in an apartment, and I've been looking for something reasonable. I tell you, Dave, real estate is off the hook right now. I mean, you got to be able to overpay, if you know what I mean.
You're right. The house next to us sold back in November for 13% more than they were asking for it. That's crazy. I have never seen real estate like that before. I don't think it's the same bubble as we had in 2007. That's where if you could breathe on a mirror, then you got a loan. I don't think it's that issue. If you could breathe on a mirror and it showed some condensation, then that's qualified you for a loan back in 2007. But this is just totally different. That's a supply and demand issue, not a overextending issue.
I agree. But the rental property has gone through the roof. You're really better off to go get a mortgage. You can pay a mortgage payment cheaper than you can, for like I would prefer a three-bedroom, two-bath, ranch. And you're looking at $2,000 a month for rent, and hell, you can go get a mortgage and it'd be a lot less than $2,000 a month.
Yeah, just come up with a down payment and qualify. That's and have steady income. Me, I wouldn't be able to do that right now because I don't have any income.
Michigan, Charlotte.
that one up about 6 years ago. Then went to, I went from B of A to B of J, from Bank of America to Bank of Japan. Stayed with them for 5 years and then quit them back in September. And just kind of my official retirement date is in November. So I'm just kind of holding my feet up, skimming across the bridge until I get to retirement date. But it's kind of fun not working.
That is, unless you need to be working like I do.
I can make it a thing. I mean, unless the stock market keeps going down like it is here lately, it's got to turn around and come back the other way. But, I'm pretty sure I can coast over to the other side until I start drawing on society instead of giving society half of everything I make. Time to get a little bit of payback, you know?
CJW was in 4EDX. Yeah, I know. I filed my taxes and basically got nothing except a bill to pay the tax preparer.
I was really complaining about it the other day because tax day just went by. She's complaining about how much we have to pay. And I agree with her, but you think it's about 35% or 40% or something like that. But when you consider you got to pay taxes on everything you buy as well as everything you make, you're paying well over 50% tax.
Especially if you figure in the remaining taxes, like property taxes on your house, your car, your boat, your motorcycle, you still got your bike?
Steve was over here the other day. He went to Eastside, too. You'll hear him on here at KN4BWA. There's a bunch of Eastside graduates on this repeater. And he saw underneath all of those moving quilts, because I keep moving quilts on top of it so dust doesn't get on it. And he said, that's just a shame. It's been 2 years, Ed, since that thing started up.
Hey, Ken.
I didn't hear anything.
One of those KTM 1290 Super Dukes. They called it the Beast. But they had, I put a full Akrapovic race kit on it that was $2,400 on top of the price of the bike. The bike was out the door, it was a little over 20 grand. But it had damn near 200 horsepower and 408 pounds. And you could not keep the front tire on the street. I knew if I ever died on a motorcycle, it was going to be that one. And I got tired of, it did not have a windshield. And I got tired of the long rides to the mountains, where the bike was most effective in the curves. And I ended up buying another Kawasaki Concourse. I really enjoyed that bike. I own two of them.
And how many horsepower did you say that was?
It had right at 200 horsepower.
And that boost, I think, has got 130 or something like that, and doesn't weigh but 1,400 pounds. That's just ridiculous. When I opened that thing up, it was all I could do to hold on to those handlebars. That thing's pulling so hard. I can't imagine 200 horsepower on a bike that light.
But really, at highway speed, if you just dropped the gear and gave it gas, the front tire would come off the ground. And, I mean, literally, I could go, I had my balance. I always have been really good at riding wheelies, but I could go through, into fifth gear, doing about 130 with the front tire still in the air.
My son and I did that one time on a Katana up on Highway 11. We were just opening it up to see how fast it would go with both of us on the Katana. And I thought, man, this wheel seems really light, the front wheel. So I looked over to the side, and the wheel is like bouncing. It touches the road just every now and then. Come up about an inch, and then it go back down and touch the road. Come up about an inch, going 130 miles an hour.
It had all kind of electronics. It had an anti-skid. It even had a wheel daily control where once it sensed that the front tire was off the ground, it would cut the fuel or cut the electricity. I don't know what it did, but it governed itself. But it had an anti-spin because it would, you know, it would rip the rear end, you know. If you got the back end would spin before it would raise the front wheel. But anyway, I ended up getting rid of the tires. I burned through the tires that were on it. Had Pirelli courses, and I don't think they lasted 1,500 miles. They were real soft. And I went with that Michelin sport touring tire, and hell, it turned out to be too hard, and the bike would just start burning rubber instead of picking the front tire up.
It would break loose that when you were moving?
Oh, yeah. It did it effortlessly, too. I mean, that was a true death machine. I tell you, my insurance tripled. When I first bought the bike, I insured it with Geico, and after 1 year, I got a notice saying that it had gone up substantially, like 75%. And the third year I had the bike, it had more than doubled, and the person that I was dealing with was very knowledgeable on the phone, and she told me, she said, "Have you been on YouTube lately and looked up KTM 1290 Super Duke?" And all these idiots were putting videos on YouTube, you know, where they're wheeling through park traffic, you know what I mean, just absolute idiots. And the insurance company caught on to it, and they just went right through the roof with the insurance.
My insurance has always stayed the same, though. It's about $1,000 a year. It doesn't matter how old I am or how old the bike is. It doesn't change. It's about, and they make you pay it in one lump sum. They won't let you pay it, you know, every 6 months.
I was paying mine, and they would hit me for one, you know, like a third of the total in January, and then they would, for the next 6 months, you know, divide it up. And I was trying to think, I had full coverage on my bike, but it was, you know, they told me, they said, "It's not you. Your driving record is perfect, you know, it's the bike."
That's the same thing State Farm told me. It's it is what it is. Take it or leave it. It's going to be that way no matter where you go. And they were right. But Amy says I'm getting too old. I need to go ahead and sell it. And I think she's right.
You're on a go wing by now.
A bike that you have to lean backwards on. I've always had one that you lean forward on. Doesn't mean I haven't leaned backwards on one. I used to go down to the beach and I would put my feet up on the handlebars and I'd lay back on a katana, lay back on the seat and put my feet up on the handlebars and ride for hours like that. It was a lot of fun, but I could never go with a bike that you have to, that you lean backwards on. That just doesn't work. That's just not a bike to me.
I beat a couple times on the motorcycle and actually rode the Daytona a couple times on the bike for bike week. And I tell you, one time coming back from Daytona, we'd been out there, we looked like lobsters. We'd been without our shirts on all day on Sunday for the 200. And we got on our bikes and we started home. By the time we hit the Georgia line, it started sprinkling. By the time we hit the South Carolina line, it was raining. And about the time we got to Orangeburg, it was sleeting. And I mean to tell you, that was the most miserable ride home from Daytona that I ever took.
I can relate to that. One of my rides back from the beach was in the rain. It was raining almost, you know, all the way to Columbia, from the beach to Columbia, and it was nighttime. And through the rain that's splattering on the helmet, on the face shield on the helmet, I saw blue lights up ahead. So my hands were frozen because water, you know, rain, cold, night, water. my hands were really pleased, and I'd stop at like a McDonald's and push their button on their in the bathroom to heat your hands up to dry them, the dryer, to get my hands thawed out. But when I came up that blue light, it was a cop that stopped because there was a tree that fell across the road. If he had not had been there, I would have run right into that tree. I would not have not have seen it and would have run right into it. He saved my life. And I'm very grateful for that. W4DJW.
That's one of those awakening moments. I had a friend that was killed. Gosh, it goes back 1983, 84. I was in the Navy Reserves and happened to be, it was a reserve weekend, so I was not on my interceptor. I was riding a 500 interceptor, and several of us were, we either worked at the Hyundai Grady Miller, or we were road racers. And it happened up on Canoga Road up there, and just outside of Hendersonville. And one of the guys went down, crashed his bike, and he and his bike were laying in the street just over a rise. And a guy named Sam Floyd, he came over that hill and had nowhere to go, and he hit the bike, and he went over the bars, and he ended up hitting a mailbox post, you know, one out of, that are made out of 4x4s, and it ruptured his aorta off of, you know, on his heart, and he was pretty much dead on arrival. But I'm grateful I've never come up across anything like that. N4EDX.
It does happen. We had a DBA, database administrator, at the last place that I worked, that he was on a bicycle coming down a hill like that, and he went around this one of the curves too fast, and he lost it on a bicycle. Now, they're running 60, you know, over 60 miles an hour coming down a mountain, and he's a real good friend of mine. I mean, we talked all the time, every day just about, and he was going around one of the corners on a weekend, 60 miles an hour, and it couldn't hold that turn and hit a tree. And it was over. His lights out instantly. And nobody could believe it. That next Monday morning, he was, because he's very popular. I mean, everybody likes to. Everybody talks to the DBAs. You know that from the work type work that you used to do. It's just so sad, but it happens. Did your battery go dead?
Well, in its bed.
Your battery getting low?
No. I plugged in a replacement microphone. This is one of those Yaesu FT2900s. But some reason it changed frequencies on me. Do you remember a guy named Eddie Timmerman?
Failure.
At one point, he had a bicycle shop out on Red Pleasantburg, kind of between Wade Hampton and Rutherford Road. But I was just curious when you said that about bicycling. He was a big bicyclist, and he was a few years older than me. That's why I thought you might have known him.
Has he graduated, son?
Oh, yeah, but probably 78.
You're two behind me. I was big into bicycle riding. Like, I used to wear the gooseneck out on my sister's bike when I'd ride it. I wore my bike out. I pushed the crank out the bottom, and then I took over her bike and started riding it. And the gooseneck that holds the handlebars, I'm pulling up on the handlebars on each side so much, it'd break the gooseneck off. I'd have to go get a new one.
Be a motorcyclist. I tell you, I don't know if you remember this or not, but Yamaha made a bicycle, I was trying to think of the name of it, a motorbike. It had rear shocks and front forks, but it was a pedal bicycle, and it was in their, you know, standard bright yellow Yamaha racing colors with the white and black stripes on it, but a motorbike. And It was hard to pedal because a lot of the downforce when you were pedaling went through the suspension, if you know what I mean.
Was that a mountain bike or a road bike?
No, it was meant to be ridden off-road. It had suspension, it had little tiny forks, and as a matter of fact, a friend of mine, Ryan Painter, his dad owned that Painter's auto racing shop down there in Malden. Ryan and I were over at East North Street Elementary School, and we got up on the roof, and Brian jumped off the roof onto the ground on that bike, and he broke the frame right there at the gooseneck.
Yeah, that. What was Brian's last name?
Painter. Yeah, his dad was Al Painter. He was a big-time dirt racer, and he owned a race shop down there next to where Gore's Corvette World used to be.
And Wilson, I don't know if you remember him, but his dad was a ham radio operator, Ken Wilson, K4DTY, I think, K4DTY. You remember Brian Wilson? Well, he was a year ahead, or two ahead of you. He graduated in 76 with me. My dad, his dad, Johnny's dad, were all in the Blue Ridge, in this club, the Blue Ridge Club.
One of the meetings in, I bet you, 6 or 8 years, but I was a member of the queer group for a while, and I just quit going because I hadn't been on the radio, to be honest, in 4EDX.
I signed back up with Greer this year, so now I'm a member, a Greer member as well. And this club hasn't had meetings for I think they had one, or maybe two, meetings since COVID started. But it's been virtual ever since.
Go in and check my laundry. I'll be back here in a little bit, a few minutes, in 4EDX.
All right, well, I'm about to go in and get my cat's prescription, so I might be gone when you get back, but I'll be back after that, W4DJW.
M4DJC.
W4DJW Mobile.
Again, Dave. Kirk, back on the road.
Hey, Kirk, I got my cat prescription. You got your cat food? Dog food?
Meds, all the same, though.
Tumbles. Still kind of nice out here. It was 86 degrees. We went up 1 degree. It's hot. Remember, this car's got an air-conditioned seat. I could turn it on and my back would dry out.
Need to sweat. More the better for me.
I go every morning and sweat for 30 minutes. First time in my life I've ever had to do that. Been doing it for about almost 2 months now.
In good stead. I highly recommend you maintain that. That'll add years and quality to your life.
Do you have a regiment like that?
Off. More off and on than lately, but I'm working towards it.
Go and follow where I used to work for a living. We go to conventions or we go to other sites or stuff like that where everybody had to get a room in a motel, and a bunch of people would get up and they'd get up early and they'd go to the workout room and work out before breakfast, and we'd meet at breakfast and we'd go into wherever it was we were going into. I never in the whole time, whole 50 years I was working, did I ever take advantage of any of those rooms. And a bunch of people used to do that all the time. I couldn't figure out why they did that all the time. Now I know.
In a rat race with that, going to national sales meetings all over the country and nice, hotels in Boston, San Francisco, New York, whatever. I used to do that too, but that was 20 years ago, so, things have changed a lot since then. But I would love to have at least a decent exercise bike or an elliptical or a treadmill in my home. But they're pricey.
looking them up. This one, my wife, we cleaned out one of the rooms in the back and put her pedal upon bicycle in there. And I've never ridden that, but okay. But she had another kind of bike that just sits there, a little exercise bike and the elliptical, and nobody has ever used the elliptical much at all. So I decided I'm going to try that thing because it doesn't pound on your joints like riding a bicycle. You're tilting from one side to the other, and you're pounding on your legs. It's not as bad as a treadmill where you're jumping up and down and pounding on your legs, but the elliptical, everything's smooth motion. So I said, I'm going to try that. Nobody's ever used it. It's been there for 10 years, just sitting there collecting dust. And for the last 2 months almost, I've been doing that thing every single day. Finally, 10 years after it was purchased, or even more, it's starting to get some good work, good use, put it to good use. And it was only half the price then that they are now. I was looking at looking for a manual for it online and saw the newer ones. They cost like $2,500 now.
I'm probably going to just bite the bullet and join the YMCA for 60 bones a month. And right now I'm trying to really watch pinch my pennies because I'm in between jobs. But I really have to get on top of my fitness. And that's a huge priority for me. 60 bones a month is nothing to sneeze at. But I think I'm just going to have to do it. And just make it a habit. And maybe the cost of it will further more easily compel me into the exercise room at the Y.
One of my friends that he still calls me about every other week or something like that and let me know what's going on with the working people. I used to work with him at both places that I worked for the last 20 years. He transferred just like I did from one to another. And he goes to the Y all the time. I've never been there. I think when I was a kid one time, I went with somebody else. So I saw what it was all about, but I've never really gone. But he does that religiously. He likes the swimming. He says it's really, really good for you because it's, it makes you work doing the swimming thing. But maybe I'll get that far along at some point in time. But right now, the elliptical is doing good for me. I can tell that I'm getting better, though. In the beginning, I could do 35 RPM for 5 minutes, and then I'd be wore out. Then I got that up to 15 minutes, and now I'm up to 30 minutes, and it's at 46 RPM. So I was generating 270 watts of energy, and now I'm up to 350 watts of energy while I'm doing it. So I can tell I'm getting a little stronger. It actually really does work. I used to think that stuff didn't work, but it does.
Absolutely, Dave. Any kind of resistance exercise is going to build lean body mass, and it's going to potentiate cardiovascular health. And somebody at my age, I'm looking at 50 in 6 months. So lean body mass is the way to go. And that, all the intake, if you're actively accreting lean body mass, all the intake goes into the anabolic channel to amino acid synthesis to further build LBM instead of fat. So it's kind of like a fire. You keep feeding that fire, and it's going to get burnt.
Looked into this quite a bit, so I do have a question for you, because one of the justifications that I used to use was something I read about free radicals, and the more you exercise, the more you release free radicals, and free radicals are what destroys tissue that never recuperates. If you could get rid of all free radicals in your body, you wouldn't age. But then the more you exercise, the more you release free radicals. So tell me about that. How does that work?
I haven't read any literature about any relationships or trends between free radicals and aerobic or anabolic anaerobic activity. When you say release free radicals, are you talking about getting rid of free radicals?
Radicals, they collide with your cells and they break your cells down. It's like the electrons in uranium-235. When one hits when an electron releases and it hits an atom, it splits it. Well, free radicals do the same thing to your cell at a cellular level. And the less you exercise, the less free radicals are floating around inside of you. The more you exercise, the more free radicals are hammering away at your cellular structure. That's what I read in an article. I'm no authority on it whatsoever. I just read that article, and that was justification for not exercising to me. But I can see now that I was wrong.
Hey, I always like to hear about these things. I think I don't know how rigorous the study was or what the statistical strength or power of that study was. But I think, I just say, Archimedes' razor here. I think most of you get 100 people in a room and ask, which is better for you, exercising and releasing free radicals or leading a sedentary life and not worrying about free radicals. I think if you put the two in the scale, the cost-benefit analysis on that, I think the benefits of exercising would far outstrip the risk posed by a unquantified release of free radicals. That's just my opinion.
With you completely. But I have to get out and pump some liquid gold into the gas tank, or else I'm going to be doing a whole lot more exercise, unplanned exercise. Anyway, I'll be back on a little bit if you're still there. KO4RMM, W4DJW.
W, enjoy the QSO, copy 7300 less. I'll be clear as well as I'm getting designated. This is Kilo Oscar 4 Romeo, Mike 73 and clear. Good day all.
I have a quick comment. KO4PXB.
PXB, this is Kilo Oscar 4 Romeo, Mike, listening for comment.
Just yesterday, whenever your favorite shows are on and a commercial comes on, get down and do push-ups, sit-ups, and do some kind of exercise during those commercials. When your show comes back on, then get back up and take your breathing time to develop another whatever you're going to do for your next exercise till the commercial comes on. And you get definitely a good workout during your shows.
PXB, I think that's fantastic advice. I actually heard that Herschel Walker did that. In fact, I don't know if it's really true or not, but Herschel Walker said he never lifted weights. He just did hundreds upon hundreds of push-ups and sit-ups every day.
So I'll do the jumping jacks and sit-ups, push-ups, and just carefully do the bouncing ball on the inside and the V-ups, 6 inches, the leg raises pretty much during that whole time frame for at least 2 shows. And then take the rest of the time to relax, because you don't want to get too keyed up prior to bedtime, because then your body's full of this energy that really can't do anything with, and it's tough to get back to sleep.